Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled Trusting God When It Isn't Easy. I have with me my brother, Michael Gotta. How are you, Michael?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So Mike is my, I'll let him introduce himself, but he's my oldest brother. And I am so thankful for him in so many different ways. He's been a wonderful mentor to me and just an example growing up. So it's exciting to finally have you on the podcast, Mike. I know it's been a long time coming. I think Alyssa was on maybe the second podcast or first podcast. She was on real early. And I think Kaylee was on, but I don't even know if that's true. So it's been a long time having a family member on. So it's exciting to have you. But we're talking today about trust, and most especially trusting when it's not so easy. To begin, can you just introduce yourself? I know I just told people who you are, but maybe more of the professional bio.
Yeah, sure. So I am a husband. My wife, Bridget, and I, we live in Arlington, Texas, in the DFW area. We have four children, one in heaven, one in the womb, and two out. And I'm a Catholic high school teacher. So I teach the sciences, teach AP biology and environmental science right now. And then I'm Brendan's brother. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else there is to it. I'm passionate about my faith and excited to be able to talk a little bit about this topic today with Brendan.
Yeah, well, it's a good one. And I think, you know, we're talking about radical trust here. We're talking about how to trust when it's not easy. I think this is a topic that so many people can relate to, can connect with, or can say that they need to be hearing what we're going to talk about here. And with every single episode of the Gotta Be Saints podcast, the idea is to reaffirm the reality that we're called to be holy, we're called to be saints. And so each and every topic hopefully can get the listener to be thinking about that and hopefully practicing it and pursuing it. So for today, as I said, we're talking about that radical trust. Can you just kind of share a little bit of your story? And then we'll go from there with kind of different questions. But I guess your story in the context of, you know, why is it so darn hard to trust God and his plan?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, you know, just kind of on why is it so hard to trust him? You know, I think it's because we have our own plans. You know, we have our own ideas of what we think we want to do with our lives. And it doesn't mean that they're bad or anything. It's just that we have these plans and these ideas. And then society tells us that those plans should be the right plans, right? Those should be the things that we want to do with our lives. We're told we need to be self-sustaining. We're told that we should, have our own plans, and we should care what others think about our plans, right? We should care about, we're told to trust what the world trusts in, money, power, comforts, the people around us. And again, some of those things are good and God uses them and they should use them. But sometimes we let them become our all in all, instead of letting God be our all in all and trusting in him. So I think, yeah, in my own life, I think I've seen him just do some incredible things. And without fail, it usually is some form of like where I had to do some sort of jump or do something that most people would look at and say, yeah, that's really not the way you should have done it. Or maybe you should have been better at doing this thing, or you should have done this thing more that the world tells you you should be doing. But I've just been kind of forced into some situations without wanting to necessarily, and just come out on the other side way better because, God had better plans than I could have imagined. So I guess maybe, Do you want some examples?
I think it's helpful for the listener to hear examples, but you know, of course, only what you are willing to share. I think everything you said though is spot on, and I think I really resonate with this idea that we create our own plans oftentimes in our world, and this can be, you know, simple things like, or maybe secular things like, I want the perfect job or I want the perfect house or whatever. But it also can be spiritually led things where we find ourselves saying, I want the spouse that loves the Lord in this way. You know, this is such a broad painted stroke of a topic, you know, that can really impact all parts of our lives. And some of them, you know, are a little easier to pinpoint or to even say like, yes, I need to give this over to God. But I think even the spiritual side of things, which can oftentimes be felt as something good or portrayed as something good, can also be certainly, you know, in this category. So I think that's just something to discuss here. But yeah, if you don't mind sharing an example or two in your own life of how God has forced you or you've been invited into radical trust, I think that will certainly help both me and the listener to kind of conceptualize what we're talking about here.
Sure. Yeah. I think if I was to like go into what was my plan and then what kind of turned into, you know, something different, I would just say like, you know, career path. I think when I was thinking about my future and my career, you know, I wanted to be like a wildlife biologist or something like that. You know, I wanted to be doing something in nature with animals. Brendan can tell you all about all the times that we were the, you know, the crocodile hunter and fed, you know, gators in North Carolina illegally and stuff like that. But
it turns out it is illegal to feed gators in North Carolina. So anyone who's listening to this podcast, do not feed the gators. But anyway, continue.
Yeah. Anyway. So, but you know, so that was always kind of what I loved to do. And so I thought that was what I was going to do, you know, do long-term something in that realm. And that wasn't what God called me to, but it didn't mean that he took away my interest or that he didn't still use the interest. It just didn't turn out. And maybe one day it'll go some direction that's more related to that. I don't know, but you know, but that I think was hard for me at first to kind of understand that this thing I wanted to do my whole life wasn't really a reality. It wasn't really going to, you know, pan out. And, but I look on where I'm at right now and I'm doing, incredible work for God, in my opinion. You know, I guess some people could argue that I'm not, but you know, I feel like what I'm doing is what he needs me to be doing right now. And there's a lot of peace in that. And so I think, ultimately, you know, I'm not doing exactly what I thought I'd be doing, but it doesn't mean I'm not still using those gifts and those talents and those interests to help others and to share those with, you know, the church. I think another, maybe a more concrete example, would be, jobs. So when my wife and I got married, we, got pregnant right away and we had this, you know, idea that, you know, she could work for a while and I'd work. And then when we had kids, you know, that hopefully she'd be able to stay home with them. But if not, it was okay too, if she worked, you know, and was able to do that. But she got really, really sick the first pregnancy. And basically we found out that she has this condition called hyperemesis gravidarum. And it basically is kind of like crippling morning sickness for the first trimester or more of pregnancy, and kind of keeps you from being able to do much of anything. And so she wasn't able to work. And so then it was all kind of dependent on me and my work. And at the time I was a high school teacher in Northern Virginia and definitely didn't make enough for us to live even in a one bedroom apartment, just on my salary. So it was like, okay, change of plans. We're not going to live in Northern Virginia anymore. And so then I was looking for the next step, but we just kind of had to take a leap because I was applying to stuff, but it wasn't really, anything that I immediately had in line and wasn't getting really any bites. And so we kind of chose between moving, you know, the thought was we'll move closer to some grandparents, you know, either to her parents down here or up in Ohio near, our parents. And her dad was able to allow for us to live with them for a while I, you know, found work. And so that was kind of a great blessing, but not what we expected. I never thought I'd live with in-laws. I never thought I'd live with my own parents again, you know, like, so just the idea kind of was a little bit crazy to me, but we did it. And we didn't do it for very long. I got a job. But the job was definitely not a job that would work long-term for us, you know? So I kind of was trying something new. I went into the environmental field. Just didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. They weren't family friendly. They kind of lied about how my salary was going to be and everything. So, it's just things like that made me feel kind of like, what's going on, Lord? Like I thought I was trying to do what I needed to take care of my family. So then I had to take another leap because we were living in a apartment again. And there was all these issues with like bad air quality, AKA our neighbors were smoking weed or had it stored in their closet or something, you know, and it's coming into our apartment. We're like, this is not where we need to live with a 6 month old, 1 year old. We need to get out of here. So I was looking for something else. But during that time, I didn't know if I wanted to go back into teaching. I had felt kind of like maybe teaching wasn't for me. It didn't seem like it was the path financially, before. So I kind of was like, I don't think it's where I need to go again to provide, for my family. But, a job opened at a school, Catholic high school. I went, and applied and had an interview and, you know, things were going good, but I still didn't have any offer. And then, the job I was in with the environmental company had a situation where they wanted me to go do some, you know, job. It was going to encroach on our family. And I basically was like, I just can't do this, you know, like you're not respecting my family. And they didn't like that at all. And basically were like, you can either quit or we can fire you. And if you quit, then we won't make you pay back all this, you know, I had done all this training and they wouldn't make me pay it back. So I was like, what do I do? You know, I don't have a job lined up. What am I going to do? We have no income. But I quit, you know, I quit right there and said, Lord, you know, like, I don't know what's next, but you gotta help. The next 24 hours were horrible. Because, you know, obviously my wife's freaking out. We don't have anything. And then we're just, you know, just praying and just hoping. And then I get a call the next day from the school I had interviewed with, and they offered me a job. And it was like, all right, here's the Lord telling me what I need to do next. So I accepted that and I worked there for a few years. Again, kind of had another situation where it was like, this isn't going to work. We're financially, like, it's not enough anymore. We had bought a home because at the time it was still cheaper or maybe a little bit more than what we were paying in rent. And it worked for, you know, so many months, but then again, it was like, this is not enough money. But I didn't do anything different. You know, I didn't try to go and, you know, I don't know, work another 100 hours to try to make up the difference. I just tried my best to just trust and, started applying to some other jobs and another school job. Again, I was kind of thinking I'm going to get out of teaching. You know, I need to leave this profession. It's not for me. It doesn't make enough money. I need to get something different. But God wanted me in teaching because this job opened up. And when I saw their offer letter, I was like, I've never seen a teaching job that pays this much. That's, you know, so it kind of was like God again, just saying, here, keep trusting me. I will give you it when you need it. So I try to not grasp, you know, I think that's one thing is just trying to not grasp, and try to just keep going with the flow in that way. But I would say jobs especially have been one of those places where, you know, I could go out there and just keep applying to different jobs. And maybe there will be a time when that's what God calls me to do, to, you know, make enough money for the family. But, so far he's been able to, yeah, help me and provide, just by trying to trust him every day and going to him. So.
Yeah, well, I think it's beautiful. I mean, certainly I know your story, you know, on a very personal level because I am your brother. So I've gotten to experience this and journey with you to some extent through this all. But I think I remember specifically when, you know, you were at that environmental company and you kind of walking away from that job. And, you know, as your brother being a little worried for you and just nervous, because I knew that that was a, you know, a tough spot to be in, but also, you know, there's this, well, he's got a family. What does he do? And then this, you know, in that moment, I kind of said, you know what? God always takes care of Mike. He always takes care of all of us. The Lord has a plan in this. And then I remember you saying, you know, the next day that you had a job. And just, you know, that radical trust, I think, is something that is so beautiful. I think you have, you and your wife and your family have such a wonderful just trust in the Lord that it is so apparent in every single action. It doesn't make it easy. It doesn't mean that there aren't stresses or anxieties. But I do think that it's a beautiful reminder, too, of God's faithfulness. You know, that when we are faithful to him, he will be faithful in turn to us. And so I think for somebody at home who's listening to this, maybe your situation is not the same as what Mike's describing, but maybe you've had similar situations like that in your own life where maybe it's not a job, but it's something. Maybe it's discernment within a relationship, or maybe it's picking a college or figuring out what you want to do with your children, what school you want to send them to. We've all faced some sort of discernment and had to, at some point, you know, radically trust in God in a deep way. Or if you haven't, I promise you it will happen. And it requires, you know, something of us that is so tough, which is that surrender. But I think you've shown and given wonderful examples of what that looks like and can look like. I'd love to just shift a little bit here now to the example of you as a man. I think you and I, when we talked before this show, we talked about, you know, the role of a man within the trust. You know, for your family, you had to lead. And, you know, Bridget here, of course, your wife, was willing to trust you and lean into that, even though, you know, in multiple situations, you know, you might not have had a direct answer of what was going to work next or what was going to come next. She let you lead. And I think that's something we could definitely talk about a little here. So can you just talk about what that can look like for each level of the man, you know, if they be single or if they're married, or if, you know, by chance there's a priest that listens to this podcast, you know, in any of those situations, what you think is important for someone in that space and, you know, what is going to help them to lead well?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the man is called to represent Christ to the world and, you know, take that as you will. But I think this is why, you know, when it comes to leadership, right? Like, this is why men should be leading their families. This is why, you know, priests should be leading their parishes. This is why, you know, in society, it's so sad that men don't act like men anymore, don't lead, right? That there's almost like this fear of leadership. And I see it as a teacher all the time. Like, there's so few boys in my school that want to lead, right? It's like, they just don't pick up the mantle. But I think what needs to happen is it comes to this, like, you have to be having communication with the people around you, right? If you're married, your wife, right? Like, you need to be in constant communication with her. She needs to know your heart. She needs to know where you are. She needs to know what you're thinking. She needs to know, like, what is it you're feeling about? Where is it the Holy Spirit's prompting you? You know, like, it shouldn't just come out of the blue that all of a sudden you just, like, quit your job, right? Like, Bridget and I were constantly talking about it. In fact, she was the reason, one of the big reasons I made the decision, not because she told me quit your job, but because she had told me, like, hey, this isn't okay that they just told you last minute to do this thing. And it's, we already had plans and that's not fair to our family. And she was very upset. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go tell them that. And I did. And then they gave me this ultimatum and I didn't have a chance in that ultimatum to go talk to her first, but because I knew where she stood on, you know, just the way they're treating her family. And I felt that same way. I was like, I know the right decision, even though in this moment, I don't get to first, you know, talk to her about it. I got to just jump. But I think that's also part of it is when you know that it's right, when you've been doing the communication with others, and when you've been doing the communication with God, right? You've been praying, you've been trying to give him time. You got to jump, you know, like you have to jump even when it's scary, and be willing to take that leap. And there's going to be some really scary times, but you know, if Peter never stepped outside the boat, he never would have been able to walk across the water to Jesus. Now you get scared. And so at some point you stop looking at Jesus and you start to sink into the water. Right. But I think at the first, you know, the first thing that has to happen is you have to be willing to jump. And I think that's really, it's a radical trust. You know, it's like you don't look at any of the apostles and say they weren't radical. They all died martyrs' deaths except for, you know, one. And it wasn't because he didn't want to die a martyr's death. It's just the way that, you know, it turned out.
But close to Mary. So, you know, he was close to Mary. So she was like,
yeah, yeah. She's like, I'll spare your life. but yeah, so I think really it just needs to be that you're communicating with the people you love, the people who need to be knowing you, knowing God through you. Because I know Bridget, you know, and this is not, maybe not all women, but I think especially, I see this, you know, in her and oftentimes is that, it's not that they don't trust. It's just that they need to see that you trust right first, like not because again, not that they don't trust, but it's almost like the experience, especially for I think married women, is like that if my husband, if I can't trust him, how could I trust God, you know? And so I think that's really important, even if they have a very strong faith themselves, right? Like if all of a sudden you start not being that person that you know, trust God, then it's going to be hard for them to do that too.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think in my own marriage of, you know, Meredith will always talk about how before me, she was a strong, independent woman, and not saying that in a,
she was too,
you know, a silly feminist way, but more that, you know, she was taking on the world in a real way and living her life faithfully and, you know, kind of what we describe as a girl boss. And she's still all those things. And yet, you know, she was like, it was really nice to get married and not have to be that way anymore. She's like, I don't want to be independent. I want to be dependent on the Lord, but in a real way on this earth, you know, dependent on you, and to lean into that relationship. And we always have a joke that, you know, Meredith makes all the small decisions in our family and I make all the big decisions. Well, at this point, we've made no big decisions. There will come
a house. Come on.
No, that still was under the Meredith umbrella. Nice. But you understand my point. And I think you stated it well too. I want to now talk about another piece that I think comes with radical trust, or, you know, that is a part of why trusting is so hard. And that's comparison. I think for so many of us in our society, we say, you know, we'll trust you, Lord. But then we find ourselves looking at the lives of somebody else that we know, be it a friend, a family member, or, you know, in a lot of cases, these celebrities, these people we don't know that we look to as the ideal. You know, we look at their life, we look at how it seems easy, and we say, wouldn't that be nice? Comparison, we both know, is the thief of all joy. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, trusting God is good, and of course, and it sounds good, but until we really find ourselves looking at somebody who seems to have it all, and you know, these hardships that we might face, can you just talk a little bit about that, and how one can, you know, maybe find a way to look at that in the lens of faith, and how that can be a much better way to look at it, and or to be able to handle that comparison. Interested in learning more about your faith? I invite you to check out Good Catholic. They are a digital media brand focused on sharing and teaching about the faith. From podcasts to blogs to digital series, Good Catholic has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order at Good Catholic.
Um, Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, comparison's such an awful thing. I think that it just drags us down so quickly. And I, you know, even this today, I was like talking to a colleague through text and was starting to compare myself in some ways and getting kind of like frustrated about, I was like, what am I doing here? Like, this is so stupid. Like, he is he and I am me. And we both, you know, are trying to love God, you know, as best we can. And so I think when it comes to comparison and kind of like getting through that, I would say that, you know, one of the big things is to have a conversation with the person that you're comparing yourself to, if possible, you know. So if it's a person, you know, right, like call them up, talk to them, like you have a conversation with someone and it is like you are with that person. And so even if you feel like there's something different, you know, that you're using to compare, you start to be like, oh wait, this is a normal human too, just like me, right? But I think also you can start to discuss those things that are you're comparing, you know, or you know, whether you talk about the specific comparison things or you even just share your struggles, like being transparent with people and being humble enough to say like, hey, I'm really struggling, I need help, right? Like, I think that overcomes comparison very quickly, because guess what? If you start sharing your struggles, I guarantee they're going to start sharing theirs too. Like, if they're really this awesome person, then in reality, it means that they should be a really humble person. And they'll also want to share to like form a relationship. And I think that helps to overcome comparison, because it's just like we're in our brains and we think something, but it's not really what's there.
Yeah. Well, I think too, you know, one, we don't ever know what someone's going through. So there's that part of it as well, where, you know, you can look at someone and say, oh, they've got the ideal, or, you know, maybe they're quote unquote blessed in one area of their life that you feel like, well, wouldn't that be nice to be in that space, in that state? And then you dive into what you're talking about, you know, talking to them about actual things, and you come to realize that, you know, although maybe you're right, they are, you know, in a better space in one area, they easily could be struggling in another. But then I also, you know, I think of scripture. You look at Gospel of John and Peter at the fire, and after our Lord, you know, has told him to follow his sheep, what does Peter do? You know, one, Jesus tells him to follow me, but after that, he's like asking about John. He's like, hey, what about John? And Jesus is just, what does he tell him? He's like, chill, you don't need to know what,
yeah, who cares what my about plan John. Is for John.
It's not your business. Okay, that's not you.
Yeah.
And it's just funny that that's one of the last things that Jesus, you know, kind of states to Peter, to all of us in the gospel, is like, hey, you don't need to be worried about someone else's, you know, of course we should always be worried about or pursuing holiness and helping others get to heaven. So it's not to say that we shouldn't have a real stake in the game in someone's path to holiness, and we should be helping them to pursue holiness and being a light to them. And in turn, you know, looking for other people to also be lights to us. But at the same time, God is making it very apparent that like, that is not our first responsibility or obligation. It is getting ourselves to heaven. And then the people who are most directly connected to us, in your case, your spouse, in my case, my spouse, you, your children as well. And so I think that's, anyway, just a tangent, but something that is also, I think, beautiful to think about, and how, you know, scripture, for each and every topic that I ever share on this podcast, I bet, you know, we could easily find most of the answers right there in scripture, because isn't that how, or I should say all the answers are found right there in scripture through what Jesus says to us. I want to just ask a few quick questions to kind of wrap up what we've talked about here. We're both, you know, this podcast is, of course, a faith-based podcast. Can you talk a little bit about the role that the church has played in shaping your perspective on trust, especially kind of in times of uncertainty and challenge?
Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, I think that one of the greatest testaments to trust, one of the greatest testaments to God's faithfulness, to just what I would say is his trust in us, is just that the church still stands today. I mean, the church is so weak. The men in the church are so weak. The women in the church are so weak, right? Like, we have failed so many times, and yet 2000 years later, church is still here, right? So I think that's a big testament to me, is just that it's still standing. I think also just the witness of all the saints, you know, it's just like there's all these men and women who have lived faithful lives, and they've lived it differently, which kind of goes back to that whole point of comparison, right? Like, I love so many different saints for different reasons. It's not because they were all the same. If they were all the same, then it would be like, oh, that's how I become a saint. Oh, I have to do it that way. Okay. Or it would be like, no, I don't want to do it that way. You know, it's going to be one or the other, but there's no cookie cutter way. And I think that's part of why, you know, comparison's so bad and can bring you down so much, because you are called to be the saint you are called to be. But I think seeing so many different saints from so many different places, I have this awesome book off to share with you another time, but that's a bunch of saint books, like for kids. That's just awesome. that we've been reading with our kids, like, cause they've been like, they'll ask about the saints. Like one of the saints in the, it's like art, the Druid, and one of the saints is, I think it's Saint Jerome, but he, like, for some reason, is just wearing like kind of not a toga, but just like a loincloth type thing. And he has no shirt. And so the kids think it's hilarious, cause they're like, he's naked. And it's like, no, he's not naked.
It's like a cartoon drawing book.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the one I have a cartoon saint book, and it's like good, really good art. Like, the artist does a really good
job. There's a bunch, and it's from all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the one I have.
Maybe you have it, but yeah, it's awesome. But
it's on my living room table. It's a good book for that.
Nice. Yeah. So I think just, trusting, his church. And then I think also the role of his word. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading my own notes and I skipped ahead. I'll wait.
you're totally fine. Yeah, I think you know, it has to play a part in our trust. You know, our Lord certainly has given us this faith for a reason, and especially, you know, not just faith, lowercase faith, but the faith, the Catholic Church, for a reason. And I think, you know, what better way to grasp or to find peace, to find trust and hope in our Lord, than by, you know, going to the source, which is, of course, this wonderful faith, and the sacraments play a part in that as well. What prayers or spiritual practices? I know you said you feel like you're jumping ahead. So I guess, what prayers or spiritual practices have helped you cultivate and maintain a sense of trust in God's providence?
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, just daily prayer and meditating on the scriptures. I try every day to read the readings, and, you know, when I'm able to, you know, spending close to an hour in prayer with them. And, I think, especially in the last maybe month or two, I've been using this, Word on Fire Bible I have. It's just the Gospels, but there's a lot of really good reflections on some of the readings, and, just helped to just be able to read it, reflect on it, and then maybe even read something from, you know, either one of the great spiritual writers or Bishop Aaron himself, and just kind of like see what they're saying about that. But he really does have something to say every day to you if you're really trying to listen. And that's something I realize, like, when I have some crazy thing that's really bogging me down, and then I'm getting really anxious, and I'm spending that time in prayer reading the scriptures, I can't tell you how many times it's like I read the gospel or I read the psalm, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I like, that's hitting me today. So I'd say that's just number one, you know, just Christ is constantly affirming radical trust. It was how he led the apostles. It's how he leads us now. And so he even trusts us when we fail so much. So I think really just trusting his church, and reading his word, I can hear and experience his call to trust him.
Today's podcast is sponsored by The Catholic Company. The Catholic Company is a one-stop shop for all your Catholic needs, from rosaries to books to clothing. The Catholic Company has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order. Amen. Yeah, I think everything you said is spot on. And I invite anyone who's listening to this to, you know, make, as you're saying, make the word of God an active part of your life. Let him speak to you there. Certainly go to the source, go to the Eucharist, spend time in adoration if you're able, or at least in front of the Blessed Sacrament if your church is open, or if not, find a quiet spot in your home to just be still and sit with him. And of course, frequent the sacrament of confession too. You know, you want to find a way to remove doubts and fears. You know, that is from the devil. Our Lord invites us into this radical trust, but he also invites us and desires to give us this real peace. And, you know, I'll talk to so many people, non-Catholics, you know, and I'll hear about their plights, and Catholics alike too. But, you know, you probably feel the same way as I do, Mike. It's so easy to be like, how are they functioning without the sacraments? You know, people get bogged down by sin. Yeah. And I'm like, well, of course, you haven't had mercy the way that, you know, God intended it, the way God wants to pour it out upon you. It's a miracle that you are. You know, when I meet a really good person who's also doesn't know the Lord, I'm like, if only you knew what you could do, what the Lord could do with you with grace in action in your life in a deeper way. Of course, God can work in anyone's life, and he does. But that grace that we receive in the sacrament of confession, that healing power, that freedom, what it does to our soul. You and I both know that feeling. Every time I walk out of the confessional, just a weight is lifted off my shoulder. It's so, so good. So I think that's also, you know, a big part of this as well, is turning to those things that are certainly going to be sources of great comfort and joy and peace. And I want to kind of wrap up here. I think we've talked a long time about, you know, a good topic, but I want to give you a chance for just final thoughts. Anything that you want to add to what you've already said about trust and the importance of it?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to first just go off of what you were just saying about, you know, confession and stuff like that. I think that's another place where it's like, in the same way that comparison, you know, starts to breed these like thoughts in your brain that you can't, you know, overcome, having conversations with God in scripture and then also in confession, right? You're able to talk about those problems, those things that are weighing you down. So it's kind of same kind of thing, right? Otherwise you start to internalize in the wrong way, right? You start to just like feel like you can't overcome things, and Satan loves it. You know, it's so easy to get you when you're just letting it stay there and you're not releasing it, right? It's like therapy. Like, honestly, I mean, it's just like that. That's the same concept as in therapy, as you go and you talk about the problem. Because if you don't talk about it, it just sits there inside of you and eats you up. So I think really what I would say is just like last piece of advice would be like, block out the noise of the world. And Brennan's going to hate this. Get off social media.
No, I'm not. I was just going to say, when you say block out the... I think you're right.
You don't have to stop all the podcasts, but you should not be reading the news 24/7, right? And definitely not caring about what, you know, Ida in Idaho is doing with her friends on Facebook. Like,
no, I care about Ida. I don't care about Susan.
Because if you don't talk to Ida ever, how is that going to help you, right? Like, it just, again, it breeds that comparison. You start to have these ideas, these thoughts, and then you start to sin, to be honest. I mean, you start to compare, but then also have negative thoughts about that person. You judge them. At least this is me. So I'm off social media for, you know, really those kind of, some of those are kind of the reasons. And then I would say just, you know, pray with scripture more. and then invite people you admire. Maybe it is the people you compare yourself to and think they're way better than me. Invite them over and have those conversations. And then invite people that maybe you admire for their like holiness, right? People that you see their humility, you see their relationship with God, and it's really powerful. And ask them like, hey, how do you, you know, get closer to God? And maybe you'll learn something that you didn't know, or maybe you'll be like, wow, we do the same thing. And that's awesome. And yeah, so I just like having those conversations, and then forming true relationship with those people, and not just having this false idea of who they are. Right. And also forming a true relationship with God, I think ultimately is what I would say.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everything you've said, and I hope that anyone... go ahead. Cut me off.
Brendan was going to ask for final thoughts, and I'm going to beat him to the punchline. Just
unless I already asked for final thoughts.
This is my final thought. And some of you out there are going to hear this, and you're going to be like, you're an idiot. If you think financial security is more important than anything else, go do something radical with your money. Like, donate 20% of your income for a year to your parish, or something that seems totally absurd. Like, no way I could do that. I mean, talk to your spouse, but jump. Jump. Like, do something that you, because maybe you're already tithing 10%. Awesome. Try for a year, you know, crunch your numbers, but do something different. Because obviously, if you think that you're going to always be secure, you're storing up riches here, right? You're not storing up riches in heaven. And I'm not saying being financially irresponsible. I'm saying trust. And I'm not going to say I'm donating 20% of my income to the church right now. What I'm saying, though, is that if that's your God, start getting rid of it.
Yeah. Yep.
If you really want to trust, that's what I'm saying.
Amen. Or, you know, if you're looking for a place to give it to God, be apostolate, you know, help out. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, I got two final questions for you. Thank you, Mike, for this conversation. I think it hopefully will be helpful to the listener. It's definitely been helpful to me. All right. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of saints?
Yeah, I've thought about this question since you've like started your, you know, podcast, and I feel like I never know. Like, one day it's these four.
That's fine. Who's it today?
So when I was like, you know, thinking through your questions and everything today, I was thinking St. Jose Maria. I actually read some of his writing today. So he's always one of my favorite, St. Jose Maria Escriva. I'm not an Opus Dei, but man, that guy's just the best. So wise. St. Joseph, because I'm a father, I feel like a husband, I need to have St. Joseph there. I'm going to cheat Saints Louis and Zelie Martin. They're a married couple. So getting
one,
two for one. Yeah. And then I'm also going to cheat again, because I'm going to give you two and say one or the other. I always am in love in St. Giuseppe Mascati. He was a doctor in Italy, and actually was really good with his science on cholera and helping it stop a cholera incident in Naples, Italy, in the early 1900s. So he's awesome. And then Blessed Charles of Austria, who, if you don't know him, look him up. He was after Franz Ferdinand was assassinated, that started World War I. He became the new emperor of the final emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But the dude was a family man. He had 8 kids, a wife, and he was just awesome. So, yeah.
It's good. It's a good list. All right, last question. God willing, one day you're going to be a saint yourself. What are you going to be the patron saint of?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. So I'd say my biggest sin is always pride. Crazy, right? And so you never know that, right, Brendan?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not gonna.
No. So I think that I would love if somehow I became the patron saint of humility, because I think you should be the patron saint of your greatest vice. Because if you've overcome your greatest vice and become a saint, right, like that, I think that's the biggest sign that you've actually become saints. So,
yeah, I'm there for it. And I think you exude humility, Mike, and I mean that. So I think you're on your way.
Not just because I never was good at basketball and never became, you know, an NBA basketball player. So
yeah, that's why. It had nothing to do with your height for why you're not in the NBA.
Well, dad thinks that if we hadn't moved from Medina, that I probably would have become like a D1 cross country runner or something. He feels so bad about moving us for that reason. And I'm like, Dad, thank you. Thank you for not letting me become a D1 cross country runner. I've been so arrogant and I never would have loved God.
Great.
So,
wow. God humbles us in different ways. For me, all you have to do is look at a picture of me. I don't have any hair. So it started right there.
I got the hair humility as a kid.
Huh?
I got the hair humility as a kid. I got made fun of for my hair for so much.
Well, you still have it. So enjoy it while you have it. I think you'll be fine. But thank you to anyone who's listening for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Make sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Also, give us 5 stars. That really helps boost our visibility, which is helpful. And if you'd like to donate, feel free to click the donate button in the show notes. But thank you once again for listening. God bless and have a great day. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.